Well, it's time for your feedback now on Life Matters. Executive producer Lynn Malcolm joins us in the studio. Hello, Lynn. Welcome.
Hello, Angela.
Our story on that school-based program that uses ceremony to help teenagers become adults aroused some real heartfelt responses, didn't it?
Yes, it certainly did. Let's just hear a little bit from that piece just to remind us.
Right, so this is it, folks. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and you're going to say goodbye.
Child!
After three.
You can scream.
After three.
After three. 1, 2, 3, goodbye, child. 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye, child.
and they smashed a lump of wood at that point.
Yes, it was fantastic, wasn't it? And after hearing the right journey, Elizabeth writes, "As the mother of a teenage son, I would like to offer sincere thanks and congratulations to the Right Journey team and the teacher guides led by Andrew Lyons. These educators are the accountable heroes of the modern day education system themselves. What the Right Journey offers is part of what has been missing for a positive, integrated, meaningful education for our precious children. I know from personal experience, Andrew Lyons walks his talk and is genuinely warm and interested in the welfare of his students, their parents and also his fellow teachers. If this journey is our future, then we won't have survivors of adolescence in our society. We will have good, strong adults."
Nice comment, Elizabeth. And this is from Susie. "Profound, real, connected. I went online immediately and read the website for The Right Journey. Here are some very aware people making a huge difference to the future by giving young people tools of awareness, connectedness and understanding. I have two boys and I'll be doing my best to make sure they have this sort of opportunity in their lives. The older boy already attends a spiritually based boys' school, but there's more to be had from this program. The younger child goes to a primary school where this year there's only one male teacher and a staff of more than 20. I'm off to find out how we can have these programs happening in my area in southeast Queensland."
Oh, good on you, Susie. And Nathan writes, "Thank you for such an awesome story. Our society is in dire need of this across all socioeconomic groups. Too many Aussie males are part of the world's problems and not its solutions. Given that our most celebrated male politicians, business and sportsmen, entertainers and celebrities, and the clergy are often the worst and poorest examples of manhood, and that many day-to-day Aussie males are equally repugnant, we ought to look at this Australia-wide. The model needs to be one of honesty, integrity, humility, empathy and reflection. Courage in the face of moral challenges. Strength to stand up to injustice. Thankfully, my daughters have so many positive female role models."
Good on him. And that's a man with that comment, Nathan. On our Friday talk back on the real cost of living, there were some terrific messages left on our listener line. Let's have a look, listen to some of them.
John Coulter here from Adelaide. I think it's an excellent thing to educate the public as to the use and misuse of the CPI, and it would be very good if Life Matters was to do exactly the same with the measure GDP, which is very, very misleading. Thank you.
My name is Leslie. I've just turned 65. I've been unwell for 2 years and unable to work. I live alone in my own house. Very much wish to keep it. I've just been to Uniting Church, who provide free financial counselling, and my basic budget is $145 a fortnight more than the pension. So the age pension doesn't cover my electricity, my water, my food. I run a car and I need to have a phone. And it just doesn't cover it, and I don't quite know where to go. Thank you.
My name's Dan. I'm a wage earner who can't afford to go to the dentist, but I don't feel poor. I consider that, you know, I can wait for the tax return to go to the dentist. But my problem with this society is that I think that the housing boom is really throwing a spanner in the works. It's a real greed mentality, and it's been driven by unmitigated lending, and it's driven up everything, rents, everything. It's become less of a cooperative society and a more of a competitive society, and I find that really disappointing. Thanks. Bye.
Mm. And Angela, we had quite a number of comments on our Wellform Reform Anxiety piece. Carly says, "I live on $33 a day, quite happily with no government support. I work, but then I don't pay rent. The elephant in the room, in my opinion, is the great real estate scam. I was able to build myself a home at a time when the government blinked, regards to Paul Lander, Attorney General of New South Wales. Of course, my teeth are rotting and I only rarely get to see a doctor, and I did not get to have children. The escalating price of real estate has caused the problem of people starving on the dole. And rich people have become richer with unearned income by using negative gearing and speculation, etc. And the first home buyer's grant has only added fuel to the fire.
It's a very common line, isn't it, from a lot of our listeners. This is from Joyce. Society owes its citizens food, clothing and shelter. How could it be that some of us earn more than, say, $200,000 a year, while others go homeless and hungry? I think that the whole real estate business is geared to making big profits for those involved with buying, selling and negative gearing. So it's almost impossible nowadays to build or purchase a modest place of one's own. No wonder there are so many people shouting help in one way or another, while the wealthy silence the weary with spin rather than proffering magnanimity.
And Angela, we had a fascinating conversation on Monday with Daniel Axt, author of We Have Met the Enemy, Self-Control in the Age of Excess.
Yes, I really enjoyed that. This was from Wayne. I thought that program was very interesting. The assertion from Daniel that to control our excesses, we must control our environment is correct. I have a tendency to indulge to excess in ice cream and control that by refusing to buy ice cream or other addictive sweets to stock at home. My stepdaughter controls her credit card spending by locking her credit cards in the safe at home. The way these excesses are controlled in both these cases is by severely limiting access to the means by which we indulge.
And one of our listeners left a message on our listener line after our Valentine's Day interview with David Levithan on his book, The Lover's Dictionary.
Message to David, just wondering why the letter X and Valentine's isn't linked to the fact we use X's for kisses at the end of our letters. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, of course. That is a fantastic point. I wish that I'd made it to David myself. Thank you so much for that, Lynn.
Thanks, Angela.
And please keep your all your feedback coming. It's really hugely appreciated. Tomorrow on Life Matters, how Kristen Kimball went from being a New York City slicker to a committed alternative farmer. I hope you'll join me then. Enjoy the rest of your day. My name's Angela Caterns. Bye for now.